I like the story about the man who had been drinking heavily when he comes across a baptismal service on a Sunday afternoon down by the river. He proceeds to walk down into the water and stand next to the preacher. The minister turns and notices the old drunk and says, "Mister, are you ready to find Jesus?" The drunk looks back and says, "Sure, preacher, I sure am." The minister then dunks the man under the water and pulls him right back up. "Have you found Jesus?" the preacher asked. "No, I didn't," said the drunk. The preacher then dunks him under for quite a bit longer and brings him up and says, "Now, brother, have you found Jesus?" "No, I didn't, Reverend." The preacher, in disgust, holds the man down under for at least 30 seconds this time and brings him up out of the water and says in a harsh tone, "My good man, have you found Jesus yet?" The old drunk wiped his eyes and said to the preacher, "Are you sure this is where he fell in?" Today is the feast day of the baptism of the Lord, and it does conclude the Christmas season. And it's interesting that the last three feast days that we've had, someone is acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God. On Christmas, it's the angels and the shepherds. On Epiphany, it is the wise men who acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. And today, it is the Heavenly Father that acknowledges that Jesus Christ is His beloved Son. There are three points I want to make in the homily this morning. The first one is, why was Jesus baptized? Why did He submit to baptism when He had no sin? Second, why do we need baptism, and what baptism does for us? What are the spiritual effects of baptism? And then third, how to really live our baptism and help your children and grandchildren celebrate your baptism, their baptism each year on the anniversary of the day that they became a child of God. So first, why was Jesus baptized? He had no sin. When John the Baptist was out there calling people to repentance, they came and confessed their sins. They submitted to the waters of baptism. But Jesus had no sin. He was the Son of God, spotless, pure. He had no sin. Why did He submit to baptism? The fathers of the church tell us He took the sins of the world upon Himself. He represented all humanity, and He submitted Himself to the waters of baptism. As many of the fathers of the church say, the waters of baptism are like a liquid tomb. He took the sins of the world and died, and then rose up out of the waters to new life. So He took all humanity and the sins of humanity in Himself when He submitted to baptism of John. The scripture says He did it to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, to do the will of His Heavenly Father. It was a great act of humility, and Jesus willingly submitted to baptism, not because He needed it, but because He wanted to give us an example that we should get baptized as His followers. If Christ submitted to baptism, then we too need to be baptized. He also was baptized to show His approval for John the Baptist, that what John was doing was something good and holy, and the Lord was giving His stamp of approval upon John the Baptist. And then the fathers of the church also say that Jesus was baptized to manifest the Blessed Trinity, that when Jesus, the Son of God, came up out of the waters, the Holy Spirit descended on Him as a dove and anointed Him as the Christ, and then the God the Father spoke and said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So the Lord submitted to baptism to manifest the Trinity, the voice of God the Father, the descent of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and Jesus, the Son of God, being baptized. It was a manifestation of the Blessed Trinity. And also the fathers of the church say that Jesus was baptized not to become holy, but to make the waters of baptism holy. The waters of the Jordan did not make Christ holy. Jesus made the waters holy. And even today, if you go to the Jordan River, it It's the one body of water that a priest does not have to bless if he would use it for baptism. If you went and brought back a bottle of Jordan river water and we used it here for a baptism, it's the only water that a priest or deacon does not bless. It's already been sanctified and made holy because it touched Christ. So Christ sanctified the waters, not the other way around. Now, second, why do we get baptized? Obviously, Jesus got baptized to do the Father's will, to fulfill all righteousness, to make the waters of baptism holy, to take humanity's sins upon himself. But why are we baptized? We're baptized to have sin washed away. As babies, it's original sin. As adults, it could be sins of a person's entire life. The oldest person they ever baptized was a 97-year-old lady in the nursing home. What an amazing thing, baptizing a 97-year-old, and any sin she might have committed during her entire life was washed away in baptism. So baptism washes away sin, original sin for children, or any sins when adults get baptized. Baptism also makes us children of God, adopted sons and daughters of God. Jesus is the only true Son of God, the only natural Son of God. But when we're baptized, we become adopted sons and daughters of God. We become His children. Then, baptism gives us the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity within our soul. Not only does it remove original sin, but it gives us sanctifying grace, the grace that makes us holy and pleasing to God. It gives us a share in God's own life. We become living temples of God, dwelling places of the Blessed Trinity, living tabernacles of God. Then, baptism makes us belong to Christ. We're no longer under Adam's power or the power of Satan, but we belong to Christ. We become members of His church, His mystical body, the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. And this baptism then enables us to receive other sacraments. See, baptism makes us alive. It gives us new birth. And once we're born, we then have to eat. And then we were nourished by the Holy Eucharist. We're strengthened by the holy sacraments. So this is what baptism does for us. Now, third and lastly, what can we do to really honor our baptism and to celebrate it each year in the life of your children and grandchildren? Well, it's a good idea, of course, to remember the day you were baptized. Look it up and try to figure out that day. At one of my previous parishes, I told all the children that the following Sunday at all the Masses, if any of the kids would go look up their baptismal date and tell me next Sunday on the day of the feast day of the baptism of the Lord, I would give them a quarter. I'd give each one of them a quarter. Now remember, we had over 1,000 kids in CCD. A lot of the parents thought I would go broke because they knew all their kids would go home and look up the day of their baptism. And so fortunately that week, many, many dozens of families dropped off rolls of quarters for me. So the following Sunday, I had a big bag of quarters, and as every kid went out, one of them would say March 25th, I gave him a quarter. Another would say September 8th, gave her a quarter, August 3rd. By the end of it, I still had $50 left over. So that was a great one of my best sermons. So every child knows the day of his or her birthday. You know why? Because they get presents. How many children know the day of their baptism? I would recommend that save one of your child's birthday presents and give it to them on their baptismal anniversary each year, because that's the day they became a child of God. The birthday, of course, is an amazing day. We all celebrate birthdays, but how many of your children and grandchildren celebrate the day that they became a child of God? So I encourage you to look up the date, save a birthday present, give it to them on their baptismal day, and try to make it a religious gift, a children's Bible or a rosary, a cross, a holy picture of Jesus or Mary, a little statue, something religious, and give it to them on their baptismal anniversary. And a good way to celebrate this also is to find their baptismal certificate and frame it and hang it in their room. Now, this has a lot of benefits. First, they always will be reminded that they are baptized, that they became a child of God on such and such a place, at a certain church, on a certain day. And plus, when you then need that baptismal certificate for their first communion or for their confirmation or for their wedding, you know where it is. But it's a good idea to have this framed in your child's room so he or she can see the day that they became a child of God. If you still have the baptismal candle that was given to you on the day of the baptism, light it each year on their anniversary. Bring out the baptismal garment. If you have photos or videos, show them the pictures or the videos of the day they became a child of God. So this is what we can do to celebrate our baptism and your child and grandchildren's baptism. It's such an amazing gift. You know, the baptism is greater than any Powerball imaginable, right? Imagine the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, the gift of sanctifying grace. What a gift baptism is. So we see why Jesus was baptized, why we need baptism, and how we should celebrate it each year on the anniversary of our baptism.